March 29th, 1999.
Where the marina is now.
Adrian O'Beck?
That belonged to them.
Mm-hmm.
When they sold that to the marina, there were so many heirs that my mother-in-law probably got about $25.
Oh.
No, maybe more than that.
But not much.
Very, very little.
Yeah.
And they hid their fishing shacks over there. It was the Abraham Fisher. That's Nelson's grandfather.
Yeah, it was Shore and Glarum also.
He was born in the Netherlands and established the first commercial fishing business in this area called Fisher and Sons, operated from the north side across from Franklin, adjacent to the later musical fountain. He also sailed to Milwaukee and stayed there 2 years to begin fishing out of that port. There were 43 fishers living in Grand Haven in 1860 in 7 homes, all built next to each other near Franklin and Forth.
Yep.
They were members of the Second Christian Reformed Church. Well, that church was what was called Office Guiden. Didn't believe in secret societies, so they obfuscated from the Reformed Church.
Uh-huh.
And that was Nelson's. Let's see, there are a million Fishers here, but Nelson Fisher.
This is Nelson right here.
Yes.
Now that's your Nelson, right? And?
My husband was the son of John, a commercial fisherman, and Jenny Huffman. He worked at Baker Lumber and Co-op for 9 years, and then he was manager of the Grand Haven Coal and Dock Company, owned it with Louis Bridles. Let's see, where am I here?
Right here.
Purchased the company and dealt with fuel and building materials. Oh, he belonged to everything. Married Ann Glarum, daughter of William Glarum, shoe repairman who was born in Grand Haven, 1878. Nelson and Ann had 2 children, Annette and Jean. I was, I served as the first woman president for a year. I think that's wrong. I don't remember
it?
That.
Oh.
Well, I was a Girl Scout council back in those days, about 8 women, and I was president of that years ago. And also Christian Haven Auxiliary. I started the Christian Haven Auxiliary, and Nelson was the president of the board for that. I used to call it his baby. He and Jack Teisman used to save the outfit loads of money.
Huh.
When someone would move out, they'd paint the rooms, and Jack did a lot of work there. And Nelson was always also, he was on the board of Grand Haven State Bank back when old Camp was Grand Haven State Bank.
Right.
He was president of the Board of Light and Power. He was on the North Ottawa Council on Aging Board. He couldn't say no. he was just...
very active.
Yeah, very active in local affairs, and I was too, but I can't remember all the things I was in.
No.
Here's the Glarum, the John Glarum.
Oh, yes. The Glarums, Jacob Glarum was my dad's brother. There were 2 boys and, let's see, 4 girls in that Glarum family. And Grandpa Glarum came from the Netherlands. Let's see, John Glarum, he's here. I think we need a head. here.
Oh, you want to go ahead?
Oh, wait a minute, John Glarum. My grandfather was born in Ustica, the Netherlands, and he was in charge of the Sea Boss Celery Farms. They came over and couldn't speak any English, had one baby. I think it took a lot of courage to do that. Later, he was a carpenter. He was a member of the First Christian Reformed Church. Wait a minute. I've got the wrong John Glarum. They've got mixed up.
Okay.
John Glarum, it says he was a mail carrier, but that was his nephew.
Aha.
This is wrong.
Good to know.
Now, this next is right. He married Adriana Miris in the Netherlands. She died 1885. The children included Jacob, County Clerk of Ottawa County, Mrs. Hallman Kenosha, Mrs. Evan O. Jones, Mrs. John Deloitte, Mamie Talene. Adriana died 24 years prior to her husband, and he later married a widow, Ralvina. He died, Grandpa Barham died in 1913 at the age of 72. Now, my dad always thought he was a genius in that he could do everything. In building a house, he could do all the processes. Of course, back then, they didn't have as many processes.
Yeah.
I remember him vaguely. He liked my mother and used to come for coffee. Daughter-in-law, yes, thank you, Nancy.
Oh, you're welcome.
For doing the honors.
Do you remember Musin and Glarum?
Well, he worked for a staking guy.
Not Musin.
I don't remember this name at all. But I do have a picture of him somewhere where he was building a house. I was very young when he died, so I don't remember him too well.
Yeah.
But they would take in people who came from the Netherlands. They'd come to Grandpa Glarum's. That was where they landed.
Yeah.
Then Grandpa Scott was, maybe we should go to John Glarum. His nephew, John Glarum, built the house over here on the corner.
Mm-hmm.
He was the first mail carrier. He and Sherm Clark. And they took the civil examination and both passed. And so he was Grand Haven's first mail carrier, my cousin John Glarum. Mm. And then later he moved to Homewood, Illinois, and had a coal and oil business, same as Nelson did. Meg Glarum. His daughter did two books about the Glarums. She went to Ustica, met some cousins, Dutch ancestors. She's still living. She lives in La Jolla, California.
La Jolla, that's where my brother lives.
La Jolla.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
And I hear from her at Christmas.
Oh.
She came and got some stuff about me. Now, I can find a picture there. You might be interested to know that Jake Glarum, Uncle Jake, only went as far as eighth grade. But he got to be on the Board of Education.
Huh?
And he was state auditor and smart.
Yeah. I mean,
of course, I am too. Cross that off.
Very nice.
Oh, well, Meg found out that the Glarums, who lived in Ustica, originally came from Norway.
Oh.
And she went to Norway And this is the Glarum Farmhouse, which is still occupied in Norway.
Oops.
And she visited there.
Oh, my.
And so we're really Norwegian. Oh, yeah, this is a picture of Meg. She's quite a traveler, although she's getting old, too. She has some pictures in there of some of these Norwegian Glarums. And so that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see, what else? Where were we?
So much.
Yes, if you would care to look over those, you're very welcome to. I mean,
thank
you.
I will return them.
It gives a lot of old Grand Haven stuff.
That would be fine. Thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking Ann Borgman is a cousin, a distant cousin of mine. She was a Miris. Miris was my grandmother's maiden name. Adriana Miris.
Yes.
The Chrismans in Spring Lake are my cousins.
Okay.
Oh, let's see. Oh, yeah, George, and did you know them?
Yes.
George and Shirley. Well, yeah. His mother is my first cousin.
Norm Chrisman was about my age.
Yeah, and Jim.
Yes,
and Norm.
Jim's a little older. He's my brother's age.
Mm-hmm. Well, you knew them.
Yes.
Well, their grandfather was Uncle Jake.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And, they had eight children, Mary and Uncle Jake. I lived over at 226 Howard Street growing up from the time I was four. And Uncle Jake lived next door. And he had one of the first cars in Grand Haven.
Oh.
And his brother John had a boat. See, I can talk forever. and so they went to Muskegon to pick up the car, and John had never driven it, but he said he knew how to run a boat, so he drove it home from Grand Haven. That's the story, maybe somewhere in there. And let me think, where was I?
If you have questions for her, you just direct it or write it down, and she'll go in that direction.
Yeah, I got a question.
You have a treasure of memories. You know, you're having trouble today.
No, I never worked there.
Oh, didn't
you? I worked at Reichardt's.
Reichardt's?
Yes.
Uh-huh. What did you do?
Oh, well, everything. I intended to go to college, and my John Reichardt got me down in the basement one day, talked me into staying, and said he would keep increasing my pay, which was very... I worked there when I was in high school. I counted cards, postcards. We jobbed to different stores,
mm-hmm.
Campbell's in Spring Lake,
uh-huh.
Job magazines. Oh, Mr. Campbell, who owned Campbell's, was a handsome man. We girls thought he was so good looking.
Ah.
Well, I used to go with them to New York to buy, and bought, and managed under John. And it was, people came from all over to buy there. Reichardt's was really the, it was a bookstore first when
Correct.
John first started it. Then it got to be a gift shop, and Irma did a lot of the buying.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd go to New York on the train, stay at a nice hotel. I borrowed her evening dress. We would dress for dinner and go to shows. We saw Hit the Deck. We saw Catherine Cornell. So I think I had more fun than what you could do in those days. It was mostly be a teacher or a nurse.
Yeah.
There wasn't the choice for women back then, and I didn't want to be either one. So I quite enjoyed that job. Worked there for 6 years. And then Nelson and I were married in 1930, And that was the, you know, 1929, what that meant.
Yeah.
But it didn't mean anything to us. But we found out it was the Depression. And after we'd been married a year, we moved in with my parents. My dad had hip surgery, and he wasn't working, so we lived with them for 9 years. Then we built the house that you lived in.
What's the brick house?
Down
What's
the street.
Five sixteen.
Leggett. Yes.
Okay.
That.
And that house was built with bricks from a schoolhouse that had burnt down or something.
Reinders built that house 516.
Reinders?
That was way back, 1941. And then. 1956, we moved to 524. We built another house. We built it to sell, and I liked it so well, we decided to move in. So we lived there until Nelson died in 1979. That was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And then I couldn't stand it anymore. And we built this place for my sister-in-law and mother-in-law, and they lived in a duplex next door.
Oh.
And we rented this part. Well, the lady who was living there after Nelson died kicked when I raised the rent $10. I think, I don't remember what she was paying, so I decided to move over here myself.
Good idea.
I just have one bedroom, but plenty of house to keep track of. So, now we're up to date.
Did you do anything for the Red Cross?
Red Cross work. I don't know if I ever did any Red Cross work or not. Oh, sure, I gave blood. That was...
Everybody did that.
Yeah, you know, Ruth Vanderkolk used to handle that.
Yeah.
But what else did I do besides... I was very interested in Christian Haven Home and always thought that people waited too long to go in.
Yeah. Now you don't think that.
In fact, I visited some people there yesterday. I visit people that I can talk one to one. Cecilia Crane, who died recently, she was 102, lived there for 25 years, and she was deaf and couldn't hear, but we would manage to communicate. But yesterday, there's one little gal who's my age, and she always gives me the business because I don't move in. And they have about 10 rooms that are vacant right now. Yeah. Let's see. What else?
What about the armory?
Have a cookie, Nancy.
No, thank you. Husband
it couldn't be
National
fresher.
No.
Yes.
My aunt.
Your aunt, I know. Yes, and one time when we were coming home from Florida, my husband and I, we stopped at a restaurant, and there was a Ewing there. That was your dad, I think. And then there was, years ago during the war, there was a group they called the Gales group. Gales for Loving Service. They knitted, and I taught them knitting.
Oh.
And Ed Mull, who had Mull's shoe store, was Nelson's uncle, and he had me written up in some little magazine that I did that. But that was another thing. That was something I did after we'd been married a while. It was during the Depression. Everybody was knitting, and I had knit a couple of sweaters, but let's see, who were these people at the lake? She was teaching knitting at Reichardt's and quit. And John asked me if I knit and if I could teach it. Hmm. And I'd only knit a couple of sweaters, but she helped me, gave me some, did intensive training. And so I taught knitting at Reichardt's. My sisters-in-law, I thought it was a big joke because I'd only knit one sweater, but pretty soon they were coming to me because we knit dresses, skirts, whole dresses. I remember Gladys Birnig knit a very fancy stitch, and I had never done that fancy stitch, but all you have to do when you knit is follow directions as you come to them. And anybody can do it.
Dr. Birnig was my doctor. Dr. Birnig was my doctor.
Oh. Well, John Birnig was in Ginny's class.
Oh.
He got to be a plastic surgeon, I think. Mm. Yeah. They had a gang, Gary Boss and John Birnig, and a bunch of kids that would come. Had sleepouts, not the boys that came at night. He was related to you, doctor?
No, he was my doctor.
Oh, your doctor, yes. He was my mother's doctor too, mm-hmm. Way back. Well, let me see. We haven't gotten much to Grandpa Scott, my mother's father, who lived down on 8th Street, that's where I was born.
Uh-huh.
Lived there for 4 years. And there were, she had 5 brothers. And Isaac Scott was the uncle who lived next door. Ernie Scott was in the post office for years.
Yep.
My mother's cousin. Grandpa Scott was a ship carpenter.
It's a nice looking seat.
This was a model, model.
Uh-huh.
Was, I think it was the model of the Sally. Hunter Savage's boat.
Look at that.
And I gave one away that was, well, it was bigger and it was, you could churn it. It was marked off. Instead of doing designs, they made models to build the ships from. He worked at Barrett's in Barrysburg. How he got there, I don't know. They didn't have a car. He had horses in that house.
Interurban.
Yeah, interurban, sure. I've given away a lot of his tools. He had a chest. This is an old plane.
Mm-hmm.
He had great big mallets. This is another one of his tools.
Oh my goodness.
Huh. Yeah, this came off, that goes on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
This is the whatnot that an old friend of his made. That's real old.
Yeah.
In fact, all this house is full of old stuff.
Oh, that's nice. That's quite a hammer.
Granddaughter is a wildlife artist.
Really?
And she did that.
My.
And she had the pictures in the March Wildlife Art. I couldn't find a magazine here. You were supposed to vote on whether you liked it. She does all wildlife things.
Mm.
Takes pictures. They live in Chino Hills, California. That, I think it's quite nice.
That is very dramatic.
This was Grandma Fisher did this quilt in 1901, and the reason I know it was 1901, my sister-in-law Drita had a tribune that day, and Graham Fisher was the fire chief then, Nelson's father, and she was working on that when Central School burned, that 1901 tribune. I should have kept it.
I did somewhere.
But she was working on that. See, I am a living historian.
That's grand. Oh, my.
And
yeah.
Here are the
Scotts. Oh, yeah. Oh, Gladys Scott. I have a Glarum genealogy that goes back to the Duke of Buccleuch in Scotland.
My.
My dad used to kid my mother about it a lot when mother was kind of on her uppers, you know. David Scott came to this country and was in General Burgoyne's army.
Mm-hmm.
So I couldn't be a daughter of that
revolution. No, wrong side.
And he was taken prisoner. And after the war, he was persona non grata. Nobody liked him.
Mm-hmm.
So they escaped to Canada. And then they came back to Holland years ago, and then came to Grand Haven.
Huh.
And Grandpa and Uncle Isaac came to Grand Haven. They owned the Ellen Stevenson, a sailing boat out of Grand Haven that carried lumber up and down the Great Lakes. Now, Helen DeYoung's father bought that boat years afterward, and somewhere I have an article where it was it foundered in Lake Michigan, and they had to row to Holland. Helen DeYoung told me about that. Now that was, and I, you know, when you're young, you don't ask questions. I should have asked Grandpa more about the Ellen Stevenson.
Mm-hmm.
But when Uncle Chuck, my uncle, would come to Sunday dinner, we'd have a beer or two, and then Uncle Chuck would get, how did he put it? They were big calmed off Point Sabo. They didn't have an engine.
Yeah.
So he must have been one of the crew when he was young. So you see, now, Ahira, where is John Scott? Oh, here, 1849 to 1923, born in Buffalo, Southern Grand Haven, 1879, as a ship's carpenter, helped build many of the wooden ships. He sailed with his brother Isaac. Oh, yes, it's here, on the lumber schooner Ellen Stevenson, member of the Presbyterian Church and modern woodman. And then Isaac Scott was the uncle who lived next door. Yeah, mm-hmm. He owned the Ellen Stevenson with Grandpa. Mm-hmm. The rest of them, Ernie. Mm-hmm. Now, that's my sister Pauline and Grandpa Scott and me in front of 226 Howard.
Oh.
My dad built that house in when I was 10.
Look at the sand dunes still showing there.
No, when I was four, it was 1910, because I was born in 1906.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And he used to, yes, that's Grandpa Scott as I remember him. Mm-hmm. And that's the house on...
this one?
Yes, 8th Street.
On 8th Street?
118 8th Street that he built. It was one story house, and then he raised it, made it two story as his family grew, and then Uncle Chuck lived there all his life, and he raised it so it had a basement and a furnace. And Uncle Chuck came up for Sunday dinner to my mother, and she made chicken and biscuits, and believe me.
Sounds good.
Now that is a, that was, I think it was under there. Now that, a tintype, is the Whitmix, mother's mother, my grandmother, maternal grandmother. Wait a minute, where am I? on Diesel. That was Grandpa Whitback, and he lived in Holland also.
Have you seen that picture?
This was my grandfather Scott when he was young, and my grandmother Annie Whitback Scott. And this would probably, oh, those are Aunt Sibby and different aunts. And this is the grandfather Whitback. And a cousin of mine had a diary that he wrote, and he wrote when Lincoln was shot in that diary. And he also wrote about coming to Grand Haven on the cars.
Oh,
they called the train the cars.
Right.
And I remember reading that. And so that's quite...
What year, do you know?
Oh, what year would that be? John Scott was born, let's see, he was born in 1849.
So...
And he was probably...
25?
They didn't have any children there, they were young. Maybe he... Well... I have a genealogy that gives all the...
That's all right.
Well, that's the Glarum. The Scott is a genealogy.
That's right, the other family.
Yeah, but he was probably were still in Holland then.
Mm-hmm. It's a marvelous picture.
Well, it is, isn't it?
Yes.
The Empress Eugenie hats.
Yeah.
Uh-huh, and the dresses. And that hat, of course, I didn't know him. Then one of these gals, Aunt Sibby, moved to Texas, used to send us pecans. He was nice looking when he was young.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He was.
And she was cute, too. I never knew her. She died before I was born. Well,
I think that's enough. For today,
I've
got a lot of information here.
Well,
do you have any questions?
Do you have any questions?
Do I have questions? No. The museum somewhere has a picture of our 1923 basketball team, girls basketball team.
Well, girls.
Mrs. Fisher was on the
team. I was the captain.
Oh.
Well, I have that picture.
Yeah.
I was just looking at it.
There's also the picture of them at the top of 2nd Street right in front of our house.
Oh.
They're sledding. That great, that sledding
yes.
picture.
Oh, yes.
Ann was
that big bobsled.
Part of that group.
Yeah. Everybody's dead except me, isn't that awful? This is me.
Well, oh, yeah.
And you're the captain.
Yes. Oh, yes. The Shoops in Grand Haven, that was Edie Shoop.
Hmm.
Her mother gave the corner for Christian Haven Home.
Oh, yes,
they
that's right.
They called it the Shoop Home for
that's
a
right.
while. And it just sat there for years, and then a bunch of churches took it over, and they renamed it Christian Haven Home. And Vern Brunsting was our minister at First Reformed then,
right.
and he reactivated that. I still hear from him.
Really?
Yes.
Right.
In fact, he started a church down in Stuart, Florida, and he's the... I just got that from him. I knew that. When he was in our church, he was very strict. For communion, we used to have real wine. He changed it to grape juice. He was very strict. Now, these funny books, he was back. A while back, one of his granddaughters graduated from Hope, and he came, and we had a little get-together, and he had started doing these books. He mm-hmm. used jokes to illustrate his sermons. And so, because I couldn't hear, I read some of them, and we laughed, and I said, Bern, I'm really surprised at you. The Dutch would say, that spotting. Now, my mother wasn't Dutch, but my dad was, and I knew a few Dutch words, and spotting is something that's a little bit off color.
Uh-huh.
And, but they're really very funny. well...